We had a night of comedy here on Friday night, and I tell you what, those guys were excellent. We're going to have them in the life of the church again, possibly this year, definitely next year. I tell you, that it was so funny. Folk, you know what, we need to laugh a lot more than we do. If you take everything so seriously, no one will take you seriously. I think it's good for us to laugh a little bit. And this is a great little video clip. Somebody sent it to me. I think it was Andrew in the week, one of our members. And it was just I chuckled. And it's I felt that's what God was wanting to show us or speak into this morning. And you know, that video clip isn't true. It's an urgent legend. It's been going around since about the 50s. And so it just depends on which side you're on. You just share the story so that it makes the enemy look bad. So often the Americans use it against the Canadians, and the Canadians get all kinds of things like that. But anyway, but apart from teaching us a little bit of something, I mean, that video is a kind of parable that shows us a little bit about not being inflexible and not being stubborn, right? There's one thing that is so important that I want to draw out of that, and it's perspective is everything. Perspective is everything. There's a danger in not seeing the whole picture. And we need the lighthouse of God and His Word to come and shine over our lives so that we can see the way and the direction that we need to go. Because without perspective, we can get into some seriously rough waters. Amen. And so, I just want to share with you personally and how the Lord has been leading me to this. And don't worry, we do preach from the Bible in this church, and we're going to get there. But I was driving to the bank at Northgate, and I pulled up to the robot. And as you know, that when the robot is off, you treat it like a four-way stop. And so I'm pulling up to the robot. I saw that the light was off. I was the first to arrive, so generally you're the first to be allowed to go. And as I pulled off, I noticed that the guy that was coming in the opposite direction wasn't going to stop. There was no way he was going to stop. So I waited, and as he sped past, I held my hooter down for him to know that I was upset about the fact that he was taking my space. And when I looked as he went past, I saw the traffic light for him was green. But my gosh. Perspective. Luckily, I don't have a big sticker on my car that says pastor. And so, when I got to the bank, the Lord wasn't finished with me yet, because I got to the bank to do the banking and on that particular day, and I walked into the bank, and there was a seriously long queue. And how many of you, when you walk into a place and you see there's a queue like it just doesn't really give you the greatest feeling in the world. You either duck or you've got other things to do. But anyway, so I see that the queue is extremely long, except for the bulk teller queue. And I looked at my bag of cash. Well, this is bulk. So I went and counted up the money near the deposit slip and counted it up near where the bulk teller was. And then I started to notice that people that were in this extremely long normal teller queue were jumping into the bulk teller queue. And I got a little bit indignant. I thought, I'm the one with the bulk. How can they jump in? And when I wanted to have a look across, I noticed that the lady that was doing the counting at the bulk teller was pulling her curtain back and was calling people across to her queue or to her teller. But I hadn't seen it initially. And I felt like the Lord speak to me right there again. Brad, you don't always see the whole picture. Folk, we don't always see the whole picture. I think if you can go home with this thing today, we're all only see a part of the picture. We don't see the whole picture, and we all need help. God's given us two eyes, but they're only in the front of our heads. And there's a whole lot that God wants to show us. And folk, perspective changes everything. I must admit, these kind of things happen to me quite often. Where I'm hitting the hooter before I know what's going on. And I'm asking Jesus to help me realize more and more that there's a whole lot more to the picture. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 23. It's a powerful passage of Scripture that the Lord has given us. In fact, we need revelation. Jesus is the one that gives us revelation. Jesus shows us the way. Jesus wants us to see things the way He sees things. Folks, if you can just see Jesus, you're going to see the one who sees everything. We don't always see the whole picture, but Jesus wants to help us overcome that. And live in a place where we humbly accept our need of someone else's eyes. Amen? These little eyes of mine have let me down many times in my life. I don't want it to do that all the time. But as I surrender my view to God's view, there's a whole lot of good that can happen. So, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 23, very interesting story. This is about Elisha, and it's entitled The Horses and the Chariots of Fire. Once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, and so he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" Somebody's telling him the whole time. Verse 12, "And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' And he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him.' It was told him, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And he said, 'Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord,'" this is amazing, Elisha loves his servant, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." I mean, that's amazing, eh? There was something spiritual going on there, and the servant needed to see that. "And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please strike the people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha." That's amazing. Whatever Elisha asks, God does. "Elisha said to him, 'This is not the way. This is not the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek.' And he led them to Samaria. And as soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, 'O Lord,'" it must have been a chuckle, eh? He must have been laughing. "He said, 'O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' So the Lord opens their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And as soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, 'My father, shall I strike him down? Shall I strike him down?' And he answered, 'You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you've taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master.'" Totally opposite spirit, eh? I mean, if it was me, I'd be on the hooter. And so, totally opposite, we said, "No, feed them." So bread and so, check what they did. They set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. Imagine how sheepishly they approached there. "And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel." Isn't that great? It's like, no, we're not going to mess with those guys. We're not going to mess with that guy, Elisha. And folk, it's amazing. You know, we see things incomplete. We see things dimly. We see things superficially. We only see the surface of things. We see things from one dimension. You know, we only see in the natural what's going on around us. There is a spiritual realm. Did you know? Did you know that there are angels and demons all around us all the time? There is a God in heaven, and Jesus even walks among the churches. Fuck, I wish we could see these things. But this is what God wants us to do. He wants to open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our thinking. If we only look at the natural things, because the news reporters can only report on the natural things. But we've got a different report, right? We've got a different report. We've got a different word that comes to us. And it was amazing to have the prophetic tongue that came forth this morning. The Bible speaks about it very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, that we speak in tongues. And when a tongue comes, it's a God giving an utterance and God giving a word. And it's in something we don't understand because it comes from somewhere spiritual. I can guarantee you right now, the man who brought the word this morning didn't have a newspaper that he was reading it from. It came by the Spirit of God. And interpretation is what he had right away thereafter. And we heard what God was saying to us. And how many of you have been stirred by that courageous word that came to us this morning? You know it's from the Spirit of God when it puts courage in you. And that's what has happened, folk. And it's guaranteed that if we are worshiping God and praising God, not like this. What's that word? Did you hear that beat? Yeah. This is up. Fuck, that's not how we worship. When we worship, when we heartfelt, I tell you, I'm not doing an act when I'm over here. When it says, how awesome you are, I just want to kind of get a grip on him. I can't do it. He's so big. I want to worship him. I want to be involved in it. I want to praise. Fuck. And as a church, we were doing that this morning. And as we're worshiping this morning, God hears. God hears when there's genuine worship. You know what? We can have a whole lot of music, but God's not hearing anything. We can have bad worship, and He can hear a loud praising noise coming to Him, because it's the heart. And as that arises before God, God's like, it's my delight to speak back to you, to give you something that'll give you courage in this nation at this time. Amen. It's powerful. We need to have our spiritual eyes open. We need to see that we are the church of Jesus Christ. We're not just a natural club that gathers together to do something nice on a Sunday. There's better things to do. I guarantee you, all of you, get out of here and go do something else on a Sunday if you want to stay natural. But if you want to stay supernatural and you want to have the things of the Spirit in your life, then make sure you're here. Because that's what's going to change. That's the real deal. The things you see in the natural are not the real deal. The things that are happening in the Spirit are the real deal. Amen. Let's be encouraged. This is not a waste of time. This has got purpose and reality and truth and hope and is packed with everything good. And so, folk, we judge too quickly in this world. And that poor servant, I tell you, if I was any one of these other guys, I would have done exactly the opposite to what Elijah was suggesting or doing. And Elisha seems to just have a peace. He's got a hope. He's got a courage. He's not moved. He's got a relationship with God. He prays. God answers. He prays again. God answers again. I tell you, what a wonderful place to be. Where you walk in this world knowing that the armies of heaven are surrounding you, and more are those who are for you than those who are against you. The New Testament declares it again. You are more than a conqueror. If God is for you, who can be against you? Fuck. If God is for you, it's one versus everyone, and the one wins. Have you heard that joke? While we're in a whole comedy moment. Have you heard that joke about the guys like, man, there we were. One against 10,000. Man, we messed that one oak up. And fuck, that's what it's like when we're in the kingdom of God. 10,000 can come against us, but it's like one oak. Because more are those who are for us than those who are against us. When we've got God plus you is a majority. Always. It's a majority. And so let's open our eyes to see this. Folks, so judgment. Judgment is a scary little thing. And I bet you're judging all the time. You judge me. You judge me already today. Yeah, I know you did. You know what? It comes straight back at you. No, I'm kidding. Some of you judge nicely, and that's what I like. But there's a video, another video clip I want to show you today. And this is going to help us understand a little bit about judgment.
Hey, sweetie. Sorry, I got home so late. I got extra something up to work. It's such a beautiful day outside. Just let me come in. Why don't you stop playing and open the present I got for you? Hello? Oh, yes, sir. I don't know why you didn't get the papers. I put them on your desk before I left.
Okay. Whoa! Cool! She's gotta be kidding me. Get lost!
Judge the teenager for being insensitive, but in the end we see, wow, he's affected by the disability of the little doggy. We get a greater perspective when we see the whole story. Isn't it amazing how when we've got hurts and things in our lives, we judge and push away the same issue in other people. And God actually just wants to use us to heal and to strengthen and to see it from a bigger perspective. I mean, how's the love of the mother towards that child that's just revealed through this little video? And so, folk, I think it's important for us to learn to see things from the other people's side. We live in a country where we're still dealing with racism. We live in a country where many people are very disgruntled with the promises of freedom and have not seen it. We live in a country where, for me, as a white man growing up, I've walked into privilege that I know my fathers killed people for me to have. And folk, I think it's good for us to begin to open up the discussions where we would start to listen to other perspective. There are folk around us that are affected, that are hurt, that are maimed, that have been disabled by many things that have happened in this world and happened in this country. And I tell you, either we will be those that would listen and open our ears and begin to see real change take place, or we'll be indifferent to what other people are going through. This is the time for us as a nation to really tackle issues on racism, to really tackle how we are towards our brothers, towards people, to judge ourselves very strictly and to determine whether there's any superiority in our hearts. And if we deal with other people with any kind of inferiority whatsoever, I tell you, folk, and we don't know how deeply and how easily this thing has been ingrained within every single one of our lives. And so I'm not just talking about it on a natural state, but I'm praying and believing that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the answer to every single thing that needs to change in this world. But we need to be very careful and think very carefully about how we apply the goodness of this amazing gospel to everyone around us in this nation in these days. We need to be asking ourselves the questions regularly. Am I doing anything that's going to bring change for everyone, or am I just looking after myself? Am I just taking care of my own things? And folk, I think it would be good for us to talk about and talk with and open up our ears and not our mouths and listen to the things that are going on around us with a very, very keen ear and a very, very keen interest. We need God's perspective. There's more to the story than we realize, folk. There's more to every single story than we realize. There's your side, there's the other side, and there's God's side. And the truth will prevail. So a little practical points I just want to give us on gaining God's perspective. Manny Pereira, who used to lead this church, handed over to us. Charisse and I, in 2010, still involved in the life of the church, is ministering all over the world. And it's a privilege for us to support him. But I remember a preach he gave called The Seven Guiding Lights. And in this preach, The Seven Guiding Lights, he was talking about how God wants to guide us and wants to lead us. Somewhere I came along this thing called guidance is where God, you and I dance. G-U-I dance. And you know what, guys? God wants to dance with us. And He doesn't want you to take the lead. Because He's a very good dancer. And He knows how to keep the stature and all those kind of things. And I'll tell you, I managed over weeks of training to at least learn how to dance for one song with my wife at our wedding day. And I thought I was a pro after that, but I haven't been able to dance ever again. I stand all over Charisse's feet, and my poor wife has had to deal with both left feet that I have here. Anyway, God wants to dance with us, folk. God wants to show us His perspective. God wants to lean in and show us where He wants to go. He wants to take us on a waltz that moves to a different beat. While the world is listening to its death metal, God wants to lead us in the waltzes of peace and grace, and wants to lead us step by step through the things that He's got for us. Who wants to dance? God wants to dance, and He wants to dance with you, and He wants to lead you. So when an aeroplane is coming into land, if it hasn't got all the proper instrumentation and electronics for it to land safely at night, it would be important for the pilots of that aeroplane to see the lights along the runway. Amen? If the pilot sees only one of the lights, it can be dangerous because he might be coming in from the wrong perspective. If he only sees one of the lights and thinks, there it is, that's the airport, I can't see anything else, and tries to land into the thing, who knows whether he could be landing straight into the air traffic control tower, or if it is one of the lights that are running perpendicular to the direction of flight. So it would be a very, very good thing to have a couple of lights at least. But the more lights that you see in a row, the better it is. And I've got seven guiding lights that can help us get more of God's perspective and get the direction that we need from Him for our lives so that we land safely. They're good. And so the first one is, let me give them to you, is the Word of God. The Word of God is going to give us God's perspective. The witness of the Spirit, number two, is going to give us God's perspective. Number three, prophetic confirmation. The confirming words of prophecy would be another light. And folks, you cannot use just one of these lights. You have to make sure that you get a few of them in a row before you know that God's guiding you. And so prophetic confirmation is the third. The fourth would be godly counsel, speaking to other people. I'll touch on each of these and then we'll be done. The fifth is circumstantial evidence. Don't say you're going to move to a country if the door doesn't open. Provision of God is a great guiding light. Gives us great perspective when we can see that God is providing for us in the direction that we're wanting to go. And number seven is the peace of God. And when you've got the peace of God, you know that it's going to be good. But if you don't have the peace of God, folk, then make sure it's not just your perspective. Make sure that you're getting the peace of God. So, looking at the Word of God, folk. The Word of God, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need the Scriptures, folk. I guarantee you, just about every major decision that I've had to make since being born again has been a decision that I've made sitting down, looking in the Word of God for the answers. And the Word of God will give us the answers, folk. When it comes to marriage, a partner, when it comes to business, what to do with your finances, when it comes to how to deal with any of the situations that this life offers us, the Word of God will speak into everything. The Word of God might not mention everything. It doesn't talk about dinosaurs, but the Word of God holds true for everything. And so when we look to the Word of God, it'll show us and guide us and lead us. And it's a wonderful thing to have the Word of God in our hearts. But in the Word of God, folk, look to Jesus. Find Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, you get heaven's perspective. When you look at Jesus, when you hear Jesus, Jesus spent most of His time on this earth showing His disciples a perspective that they'd never seen before. They used to refer to God as God. Lord Adonai. Simply that. But when Jesus came, Jesus said, I want to give you a new perspective. He is Father. Father. No one has seen God, but the one who has seen God has come and made Him known. Jesus has made the Father known to every one of us, folk. Get the perspective you need from the Father as His son and as His daughter. It's a wonderful place to be. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Man, I tell you what, you've got to have a very, very different perspective of that thing if it's going to bring you joy. Right? Every cross you've got to go through in this life, let Jesus give you the perspective that He had, because it says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising its shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's got a good perspective from there, folk. So Jesus' entire ministry was to bring the knowledge of God to us. Psalm 119 verse 30 says this, the unfolding of your words gives light, it imparts understanding to the simple. Have you ever felt a bit simple when it came to a decision that you had to make? Have you ever felt like a bit foolish, you didn't know where you were going or what to do? The Word of God gives light. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Get stuck into the Word, folk. If you've got one light, make sure it's that one. But then the second thing is this, that there's the witness of the Holy Spirit. I want to read a lengthy portion of Scripture here, but bear with me, because you're going to get your Bible reading done for the day. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16, and I hope it's not the end of it. Yet among the mature we impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. So guys, when you need wisdom, don't go looking in the psychological manuals and don't go looking in the philosophies and go looking in history books and all these kind of things. They're just the wisdom of this age and of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it, as the heart of man, imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Come on. You need that perspective. You don't even have that perspective. And then it goes on to say this, these things, what no eye has seen, no, what no ear has heard, no, what, no, what no heart has imagined. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Man, when you got the Spirit, you got what Jesus died for you to have, Himself on the inside. When He's on the inside, He can lead and guide you. He died on that cross. His blood washes us so that we can be holy, to receive the Holy Spirit into us and guide us and lead us. Isn't that amazing? So we don't have to go look for externalities to try and guide us in the things of this world. Like in the old covenant, they had to go to the priest, and the priest would tell them whatever it was because he had access to God. Now every one of us have got access to God because of what Jesus has done. God wants to dance with you. Amen. He's given you His Spirit. And so these things He's revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. A natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ, believer. You have the mind of Christ. You do not have a spirit of fear, of uncontrolled, crazy, weird thinking. You have the mind of Jesus. You can think about things, and God will guide your thoughts into the right places. Just think, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you. Romans 8, verse 14 to 17 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In other words, if you're a child of God, His Spirit is in you, and He leads you. Don't run around looking for people to tell you what to do with your life. Stop running around. Sometimes it's like Elder Brad, he's going to be the answer. Elder John, he's going to be the answer. Week after week, running and holding on to him as if he's going to be the answer for your life. God, if you're a believer, has given you the Spirit. He's on the inside. You just got to listen. Maybe John or Brad need to help you understand how to listen. But start to listen. Because the Lord's your shepherd. And He guides you, and He leads you. Your maturity comes as you stop relying on people to tell you what to do, as you start listening to what God is telling you what to do. But don't rely on yourself. Don't rely entirely on yourself. Because you know what? We see like this, and we can get it wrong. We are blind, and we can get it wrong. So, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Hello? But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God, heirs and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. When suffering comes, folks, don't be afraid. Get perspective, because you're going to be destined for glory, and the very inheritance that Jesus has, you're going to have too. They're powerful. Prophetic confirmation is important, but guys, can I please ask us not to run around like a dog chasing a fortune-telling stick when it comes to the prophetic. The prophet's coming to town. Ooh, I'm going to get direction for my life. Yes, you might get direction for your life. If you've been in the Word, and you've got a spiritual confirmation, a spiritual witness, and the prophetic word lines up three lights in a row. Then you know God's speaking to you. Many, many people hear a prophetic word and they go change their whole lives around that one prophetic word, but they've been too lazy to even go to the Word to see if it's actually in the Word, and too lazy to find out whether the Spirit is actually saying that thing. Fuck, if somebody brings me a prophetic word and I've never heard it in my entire life before, I simply put it on the shelf. And I wait for the Word of God and the Spirit of God to line up. I remember one day worshiping in a big church in Joburg, sitting in the front, just amazed at God and His beauty, worshiping. And a lady came up to me and she said to me, sir, You're going to be used as a worship leader. I said, thank you very much. I had no inclination to be a worship leader. I loved worship. I wasn't leading worship, and it wasn't even on the cards. Put it on the shelf. And one day, there came a day, believe it or not, where all the worship leaders left for various reasons. One moved to Australia, one da-da-da-da, and I picked up a guitar, and I thought, I'm going to learn, and I remembered that word. Boom. God's going to use you to lead in worship. Then I knew. Circumstantial evidence, things had happened, and God was leading me. So, folk, don't change you. Don't run after the what is that thing they use? Crystal ball of prophetic words. Don't despise prophecy. Can I please put that as a qualifier? Because prophecy is powerful. But make sure it's not the only thing. You're just waiting on somebody else to give you what God's saying to you. You are a child of God. And His Father wants, your Father wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. You know why I say this? Because the problem is this. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9. We know in part and we prophesy in part. So somebody might prophesy over your life. But it might take a couple of other prophecies before that thing starts to become clearer. And before it has context. And before God starts to guide you very clearly in the things that He wants for you. Folks, the prophets of old, they never knew Jesus would come the way Jesus came. It pointed all to the same thing. But when Jesus came, it all then suddenly made sense. But they all were waiting for a king, a Messiah, to come and destroy the Roman Empire. And that didn't happen. And the prophetic words were saying that it would happen. And the prophetic words are true, because it does happen, but on a whole spiritual level. Amen? The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's happening. And so, trust in Him. Number four, it's possibly the most important after word, spirit, prophetic confirmation, is godly counsel. Folk, can I ask you, please, to ask people to give you advice? As much as you need to mature and grow in your understanding of what God is saying and of what the Spirit is saying in your heart and looking for handling prophetic words correctly, I want to ask you though, one of the most mature things you can do is when you have a clear direction from God by His Word and by His Spirit, go and talk to someone and see if it's not your own subjective thing. Amen? Paul, who wrote the rest of the New Testament just about. Once he'd received the revelations from Jesus Christ Himself, went to Peter and to John and to the disciples, and he said to them, I just want to check with you if what I've received is what you've received, because I don't want to run my race in vain. That's what Paul did, folk. How many of us? The Lord said. The Lord has given me a word. Folk, you can follow that thing, but if you don't check it with someone, you can get yourself into serious trouble. And actually, the maturity comes when you show your humility in wanting to ask somebody else to just have a look. Accountability, folk. Are you the only person that is looking at your finances? Are you the only person with access to your budget? Are you the only person that knows what's going on with your internet browser? Are you the only person that's making decisions about future, about spouse, about where you're going to move, where you're going to live, how many kids you're going to have? Is it just you? And perhaps your wife. Because I want to ask you, please, in the name of Jesus, be accountable to somebody with a track record, somebody that's walked the road. If you want to do business, don't just do business without checking with those who do business. If you want to do things with your finances, if you want to invest anywhere, check with people, folk. It's one of the wisest things you can ever do. You know what the tendency is for you and I to be like Adam and Eve? We'll just take the fruit off the tree and we'll decide the knowledge of good and evil for us. And God has always wanted us to be dependent upon Himself and dependent upon His Word and dependent upon His Spirit and dependent upon one another. Can I ask you? Please come and talk to me. Please come and talk to John. If there's something going on in your life that you don't know how to handle, come and talk to us. If there's something that we don't know how to handle, we'll guide you to the people who can make those decisions. I love it when people come to me and they ask me about major business decisions, and I promise you, I haven't got a clue about your business. But I have got a clue about the Father of all things. And he can give peace and guidance and a scripture and a word, and it can completely change the decision that needs to be made. Just let somebody else speak into your life. Just let somebody's eyes be on your life. Don't let it be you on your own. The best place to be is a place of transparency and a place of honesty and a place of truthfulness. It's the best place to be in the whole world. That's why God has called us to be together. That's why you go to a life group. I've seen it time and time again. When you're sitting in a life group and somebody exposes a situation in their life or just needing help in a situation, and they share it, and around the room, the wisdom starts to come out, and that person can go and make a decision that is informed and powerful. Fuck. Don't do it on your own. I'm going to lead my wife and my kids, us and us four and no more, and we're going to go where I feel we must go. Hey. It says the blind lead the blind into the pit. Let's trust the King together. Proverbs 19, verse 20 to 21. Listen to advice. Accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans of a mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Isn't it wonderful? Get other eyes on things, guys. And folks, just Christ's perspective. Jesus wants to give us his perspective. I love the scripture that one of the guys in our prayer meeting shared on Friday morning. From the message, it says this. Colossians 3, I'll read it to you. If you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. Because that's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though it is invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you. The glorious you. Meanwhile, be content, even with obscurity. Just like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? It's beautiful, folk. Folk, do you know your identity in Christ? Do you know that you are a new creation? Do you know that you are loved by God? Do you know that you are an ambassador for God? Do you know that he's given you a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people to himself? Do you know that God is going to use you in a mighty and a powerful way? Do you know who you are? Do you know that you are the righteousness of Christ in God? Do you know that you are a powerful force to be reckoned with? But you'll only know it if you see from heaven's perspective. Corrie ten Boom, she was a lady that in Holland who hid the Jews from the Nazis for many, many years during World War II. And somebody asked her one day, "What do you do when you get in trouble?" And she said, "You know what? I look down." I said, "But shouldn't you look up when you're in trouble?" And she said, "Don't you know, my boy, that I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ? That whenever there's troubles, I just look down." Come on. We need a new perspective, folk. We need to recognize who it is that God has made us to be. We need to see what Jesus has done for us. We're not chickens begging around on the floor, picking for little pieces of seed. We are like eagles with wings. That have been granted eyes that can see and can pick up the thermals and the things that God is doing, unaffected by this world. We need a new perspective, folk. When Jesus sees sin, we judge, he forgives. When Jesus sees death, we plan a funeral, he resurrects. When Jesus sees sickness, we turn to doctors and medicines, he heals. When Jesus sees the impossible, we see an alternative way. He sees the possible. When Jesus sees darkness, we get lost. He sees light. When Jesus sees battles and fights, we see blood and war. But he sees the demonic and the spirit behind it, which has been defeated. When Jesus sees your marriage, we see sometimes a contract. He sees a covenant. When Jesus sees your body, we see it getting old and tired. He sees it being renewed day by day,
to be just like him.
Can we stand, please, folks? We're going to partake together. John, you're out of our... We're going to partake of the wine which represents the blood of Jesus. And the body which the bread which represents the body of Jesus. And folk, ask yourself, what do you see? What do you see? Are you just seeing a cool drink and a little bit of banting? Banting communion. Or do you see his perspective? Forgiveness poured out for you. Do you see brokenness for your wholeness? Do you see Jesus being every satisfaction to all your pain? Folk, if you see death in that cup and in that broken bread, I pray today you would have the eyes of Jesus and see resurrection power and resurrection life. In his presence is fullness of joy. And he wants to restore and make whole. He's the Lamb of God that was broken for us. It will always be the one we worship for his humility. For doing and going a different way. When they slapped him in the face and they said, "Defend yourself," he closed his lips and left his case in the hands of God. And when they nailed him, he said, "Forgive them, God. They don't know what they're doing. They've only got an earthly perspective. But from here, I can see that you're saving them."